We wish to welcome you all this evening to the reading of Cahiers d'un retour au pays natal, the extraordinary poem by Aimé Césaire. In an earlier session, we dealt with Léon Damas. It's a talk by Merle Hodge, who has written a thesis on Damas. And tonight, we are dealing with another of the founders of a negritude movement in Paris, Aimé Césaire. At some stage, perhaps, we might be able to deal with Léopold Sédar Senghor, we hope, which will give you some idea of this important movement which developed in Paris in the 1930s. In a recent interview which Aimé Césaire gave, which he had with a well-known Haitian poet, René Despestes, he was asked by Despestes whether there was some connection between the Negrismo movement which developed in Cuba with poets like Nicolas Guillén, with writers like Carpentier, between that and the movement which developed in Haiti around La Revue Indigène of Jean Price Mars, and the Negritude movement. And he said, no, these, so far as they were concerned in Paris, they at that time knew nothing of that movement. But that obviously there were parallel movements in Cuba, in Haiti, and in Paris. He also indicated what surrealism had meant for him. He explained that surrealism was for him a confirmation, not a revelation. It was a confirmation because of the fact that it was the kind of unconscious search which he himself and others were making. But he explained at the same time that there was the influence of people like Marcus Garvey. He's a child remembered Marcus Garvey and the influence that had upon Martinique in his own family, of that that mass movement which had been led by Garvey in the United States. And in writing this poem, the Cahiers d'un retour au pays natal, I'm quoting him, he says, what I was looking for was an Antillean French, a black French, a French in which my blackness would somehow be indicated. Because, as he said, superficially we are Frenchmen. The same French rhetoric, the same Cartesianism, the same clothes. But when one pierces that outer shell, one discovers, as he said, and I'm quoting him exactly here, the fundamental Negro. It was from that core of experience which in some way surrealism as a confirmation, not a revelation, helps by means of its methodology to write this unusual, extraordinary poem, Cahiers d'un retour au pays natal. The poem itself, as we know, is a poem which was written and published for the first time in 1939 in a magazine called Volonté, in parts. But that, after that was refused, as many works of art have been refused by many publishers, And until André Breton discovered it during his stay in Martinique and describes it as one of the great lyrical poems of the French language, it languished. But what is interesting is the effect this poem has had since its publication. It has continued to have a powerful effect in Africa, particularly in the French-speaking Africa. And as he himself said, there are many people, ordinary people, who know the poem by heart in Africa and who recited this poem by heart in Africa. Quite possibly, one can't discuss the level of understanding, the level of sensibility, and so on. It reminds me very much of a story that Aubrey Williams said here some time ago about the man who stopped him in the Drake Art and told him about his paintings in Guyana. As you all know the story quite well, I won't repeat it. Besides, tonight, I think, is a very important occasion. The entire cast of this production is a West Indian cast. Apart from the fact that we've had with us this evening two people from the country of the author of this poem, from Martinique. I wish to introduce them to you, Christophe Charpentier on the right and Michel Soumabao on my left, who have worked with us in the course of our preparation of this reading. As the reading will take some time, I want to indicate what our situation is going to be. Namely, that it will certainly spoil what we have intended to be the effect of the reading if, in the course of this, people are moving. Therefore, we have asked that the door allowing for entry be closed. Also, that in the course of this, except for the most urgent reasons, very urgent reasons, we request that we all stay together in this room. 30 years after the poem was published, tonight the Caribbean Artist Movement presents Cahier d'un retour au pays natal by Aimé Césaire. Thank you.
Au bout du petit matin, 20 ans, lui disais-je, gueule de flic, gueule de vache, 20 ans, je déteste les larbins de l'ordre, les hannetons de l'espérance. 20 ans, mauvais gris-gris, punaise de moignon. Puis, je me tournais vers des paradis pour lui et les siens perdus, plus calmes que la face d'une femme qui ment. Et là, bercé par les effluves d'une pensée jamais lasse, je nourrissais le vent. Je délassais les monts et j'entendais monter de l'autre côté du désastre un fleuve de tourterelles et de trèfles de la savane que je porte toujours dans mes profondeurs, à hauteur inverse du 20e étage des maisons les plus insolentes, et par précaution contre la force putréfiante des ambiances crépusculaires, arpentées nuit et jour d'un sacré soleil vénérien. Au bout du petit matin, bourgeonnant d'anses frêles, les Antilles qui ont faim, les Antilles grêlées de petites véroles, les Antilles dynamitées d'alcool, échouées dans la boue de cette baie, dans la poussière de cette ville sinistrement échouée. Au bout du petit matin.
At the end of the dawn, go away, I said, with your mug of a copper, your mug of a pig, go away. I hate the flunkies of order and the fleas of hope. Go away, you evil charm, little punk of a monk. Then I turned towards paradises lost to him and to his own kind, paradises more serene than the face of a woman who lies, and there, Lulled by the effluvia of endless thoughts, I fed the wind. I let loose the monsters of disaster, and I heard rise on the other bank a river of turtle doves and the clovers of savannah that I will carry deep inside of me. Deep as the inverted height of the 20th floor of the most insolent houses, and as a precaution against the putrefying power of ambient twilight surveyed their night by a cursed venereal sun. At the end of the dawn, flower the frail creeks, the hungry West Indies, pitted with smallpox, dynamited with alcohol, stranded in the mud of this bay, in the dirt of this city, sinisterly stranded. At the end of the dawn, the utmost point, a deceitful, desolate scab on the wound of the waters, the martyrs who do not bear witness, the blood-red flowers withered and scattered to the useless winds like the cries of prattling parrots, an old life smiling mendaciously, its lips opened by discarded woes, an old poverty rotting beneath the sun silently, an old silence bursting with tepid boils, the frightful vacuity of our raison d'etre. At the end of the dawn, on this most fragile bulge of earth, which in grandeur's future torments and humiliates, the volcanoes will erupt, the bare waves will carry off the ripe stains of the sun, and nothing will remain but a lukewarm bubbling pecked by seabirds, the beach of dreams, and the senseless awakening. At the end of the dawn, this city, flat, sprawled, tripped up by its common sense, inert, breathless under the geometric sun of its eternally renewed cross, at odds with its fate, mute, baffled, unable to circulate the pith of this ground, hampered, pruned, reduced, cut off from fauna and flora. At the end of the dawn, this city, flattened, slack. And in this inert city, this brawling crowd, which so astonishingly bypasses its cry like the sidelines of its movement, its meaning calm, passive, on the silence of its city, its true cry, the only cry you want to hear, for it is all the city can say, because the sound inhabits some deep refuge of shadow and pride in this inert city, sidestepping its cry of hunger, of misery, of revolt, of hate, this crowd so strangely babbling on mute. In this inert city, this strange mob which does not crowd together, which does not mingle, skilled at evading, dodging, disintegrating, this mob which does not know how to mob, which one feels to be so perfectly alone under the sun, like a woman who, fascinated by the lyric rhythm of her thighs, suddenly hails a hypothetic rain and commands it not to fall, or like a rapid sign of the cross without visible cause, or like a peasant woman urinating, standing, legs parted, stiff. In this inert city, this desolate mob under the sun, which has no share in whatever is openly expressed, affirmed, freed, in the full daylight of its own land, no part in the French Empress Josephine dreaming high above the nigger rabble, nor in the liberator frozen in his liberating gesture of white stone, nor in the conquistador, no share in this contempt, this freedom, this audacity. At the end of the dawn, this inert city and its transcendency of lepers, consumption, famines, or fears hidden in ravines, fears perched in trees, fears sunk in the soil, fears drifting in the sky, accumulations of fears with their dung heaps of anguish.
Au bout du petit matin,
dawn,
le mort oublié,
forgotten,
oublié de sauter.
Lost.
Au bout du petit matin,
at the end of the dawn,
le mort nos sabots inquiets et dociles.
The hill with restless, docile feet.
Son sang est paludé, mettant en déroute le soleil de ses pouces surchauffées.
Malarial blood routing the sun with overheated pulse.
Au bout du petit matin,
at the end of the dawn,